Genealogy by Tim, Episode 5. Welcome back for another episode of Genealogy by Tim. Today is Saturday, October 2nd, 2021, and this is your monthly Graham Family Genealogy Update. The only update this month is that there are no updates. That's right, with in-person school in full swing, spare time for genealogy research has once again plummeted to nil. That means I really have had no time to do anything genealogy related whatsoever. Fortunately, I do have a snippet of unused audio from last month that you might find interesting. I describe my effort to transcribe the will of Fanny Hogendobler. I'll also briefly mention some upcoming changes to a Google app that I have found indispensable. All that and not much more coming your way this month on Genealogy by Tim. Well, let's knock out the short stuff right up front. Google is discontinuing its My Maps smartphone app in favor of its web interface. For years, My Map has been my go-to app for plotting family gravesites. My Maps allows users to quickly and easily plot locations on a Google map with enough precision to single out and mark individual graves. Just about every family grave that I have ever visited, I have also plotted on a Google map using this app. The map is open to the public so that any family member of mine can find any grave that I have found, even if the cemetery office is closed or non-existent. Not all is lost, however. Google My Maps will live on as a web app called My Maps Mobile Web, which I suspect will require opening a web browser on the smartphone. I've used the web app on the computer to create a detailed map of William Pickersgill's, that is, my three times great-grandfather's Civil War service. I'll link to both that and my gravesite map in the show notes. Now, it is possible on a smartphone to send a web link to the home screen so it looks like an app. I suspect this is how I'll be accessing My Maps once Google shuts the app down on the 15th of this month. I hope the change of interface won't be too jarring, but I'm sure I'll be able to figure it out. I'm going to have to. I haven't visited any of the Smith grave sites that I plan to visit in September. Perhaps October will be the month for that? We'll see. I transcribed the will of Fanny Hogendobler in late August, and I recorded a piece about doing so at the time. I don't recall if I mentioned it, but the maintainer of Fanny Hogendobler's memorial on Find a Grave did respond to my edit request, and the site now correctly shows Frank S. Hogendobler to be Fanny Hogendobler's grandson, not her son. It is all thanks to this will document from the Lancaster County Archives that the internet is now just a little more correct than it was a month ago, and many thanks to Find a Grave user Mark Hollister for making the update to that memorial. So here's what I had to say last month about transcribing the will of Fanny Hogendobler. Hope you enjoy it. I've slowly begun the long process of entering into my genealogy software some of the information from the various documents that I collected during my trip to Lancaster and Sunbury earlier this summer. The first of these documents that I've delved into was the will of Fanny Hogendobler of Mount Joy, Lancaster, Pennsylvania, who assuredly died of very natural causes. It was this will that proved Franklin S. Hogendobler to be her grandson and not her son, as it was incorrectly reported on Find a Grave. I like to transcribe wills and deeds in their entirety because photocopies of them are often very difficult to read fluently. After I spend several hours transcribing the deed as a note in my genealogy software, I feel like I have a more intimate understanding of the family dynamic and what occurred around the time of death of the testatrix. I'll read to you a sample of the will. Now, where I was unable to decipher a word, I put some question marks in, and I'll tell you where those are. But the excerpt goes like this. I give and bequeath unto Jacob M. Grider of West Hempfield Township the sum of $300 in trust, however, to place the same into interest on such securities as he shall deem safe and apply the same to the maintenance and support of my grandson, Franklin S. Hoogendobler, until he shall attain the age of 25 years. As the said trustee, in his discretion, shall deem proper, prudent, and necessary, and in case the Franklin S. shall attain the age of 25 years, and be adjudged by said trustee, competent and capable of taking care of his own affairs, and sober and industrious, there, his said trustee is hereby authorized, empowered, and directed, after deducting the costs and expenses of the said trust, to pay over and deliver at that time the principal sum and unexpended interest of any of the said trust fund to my said grandson, Franklin S. Hoogendobler, if the said trustee shall deem proper and prudent, otherwise to continue as afore herein directed to pay and apply the principal and interest of the said trust fund or estate to the maintenance and support of my said grandson, Franklin S., during his natural life, as the trustee in his discretion shall deem proper, prudent, and necessary. But in no case or event shall the said trustee pay or be compelled to pay any part or portion thereof of the debts, forfeitures, or engagements of my said grandson Franklin, or to his order, assignee, or transferee, unless to and for his own personal and peculiar use and benefit, only as the said trustee in his discretion may approve, and further entrust that at the decease of the said Franklin S. to pay and distribute said trust, fund, or estate to and among all the lawful children of the said Franklin S., then living, and the issue and descendants of any of them dead, per stirpes, in equal shares and parts, and in default of the said Franklin S. leaving a lawful child or children or descendants of lawful issue, living at his decease, then at his decease to pay said trust fund or estate to the hereinafter named trustee Abraham D. Hostetter, whereby the aforeherein created trust fund or estate may be merged and become an integrant part of the trust fund or estate hereinafter created for the benefit and maintenance of my other grandson, Joseph Hoogendobler, and to be applied in the same manner and in trust for the same uses and purposes. Yes, that was a mouthful. But this was the paragraph of Fanny Hoogendobler's will that identified Franklin S. as her grandson and not her son, as Findagrave has been reporting. Now, when you go to an archive to retrieve a will, especially for a will written in the 19th century or earlier, you usually will not see the original paper will written by the testatrix or a representative. What you will read is a transcription of the original document done by a recorder in a rather large register. That register is often very old and fragile, not available for the public to handle. The public will usually have to view a microfilm copy of the register, and if a printout is desired, it'll often be made on letter-sized paper that is much smaller than the pages of the register. Needless to say, by the time you get home, what you will have in your hand will be far less legible than what you discovered at the archive. From my own experience, here are some tips for transcribing these less adequate copies. Number one, the closer you can get to the original source, the better your transcription will be. You may be better off transcribing the document from the microfilm reader than from a printout. That means if you can transcribe while viewing the actual microfilm, or better still, the actual register, that may be a better option, but if time is of the essence, this option may not be practical. For example, if you're on a long trip, you want to make all use of your time making new discoveries, not necessarily transcribing things. So you may not have the time to transcribe directly from the microfilm. If you do not have the opportunity to transcribe from the microfilm, then waiting until you get home and transcribing from the printout may be your only option. Tip number two. A study of legal jargon may help to decipher many Old English or Latin phrases in legal documents. I do hold a Juris Doctor from Rutgers University, and although I've never practiced law, my legal education does help me parse these legal documents. For example, the phrase per stirpes may not ring any bells for the layman, but it does mean something to law school graduates who have studied these instruments. My advice is look into some online law courses that might help you brush up on legal jargon. Tip number three, Google up the legal boilerplate. This is probably my favorite tip. Although some words in the printout will stump you, passages from wills like the one I just quoted are far from unique. They were often drafted by lawyers who applied templates to various requests, and these templates are often referred to as boilerplate, and you can discover them through Google. If you can identify most of a sentence, try Googling what you understand, with or without some guesses for the words that stump you. You may find that the same phrases surface in other wills online, and from these you may be able to decipher the missing words. For example, the phrase per stirpes in equal shares and parts is a common one. If the word parts were ineligible in this document, Googling the phrase per stirpes in equal shares and, you know, end quote, would reveal similar phrases, including those that show the last word part. So Google what you can understand, and it may fill in the parts you don't. Tip number four. Try typing your transcript in a fixed-width font, otherwise known as a monospaced font, such as Courier. These fonts might better help you recreate certain features of the will, such as large braces and vertical dividers that defy regular paragraph structure. Transcribing a will or deed may take several hours, but I believe it's worth the effort to immerse yourself in these documents and clearly understand what they have to say about your ancestors' families. That wraps up the program for this month. I'm not quite sure what to expect for next month. The school district is working me hard, but there will be a day off on the 11th of October for Indigenous Peoples Day. Will I make it out to some cemeteries that day? Tune in next month to find out, and as always, keep on digging. Your next family history adventure awaits.